buy Knickers.
Bernard pulls the trigger.
And this is a brand. Knickers is a brand.
Allen Houston.
Knickers being Lord.
Once a neck, always a neck.
Puts up a three. One go. Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
What is going on, guys? You are listening to Knickish. You got your boys Mo and Faiz. The Knicks had one of the gutsiest wins last night against the Cavs. We're going to talk all about that. But first, check out our website, nick-ish.com. Cop yourself some Knickish gear. About 20 or so games left in the season. Make sure you cop some gear today to wear it to your next Knicks game. Rep that black, white, and orange. Bring in my guy Faiz. What is going on, man? How you feeling tonight?
Oh, man, this could have been a way different fucking podcast if the news on Jalen Brunson could have been just a little bit worse. And if the Knicks had lost that game, putting them at like what, like four? No, putting them at like three losses in a row, that would have been tough. Like it could have been basically like five losses in a row, if not for that Pistons game in the middle. But, you know, we broke it up with the win against the Cavs, gutsy win against the Cavs and whatever win against the Pistons. Actually, it was a gutsy win against the Pistons too, because we came back at the end or something. It was a close game.
Frustrating. We were up and then we were down and 2 seconds left. You got Mr. Hart doing his thing.
Right, we kind of got blessed with a foul or something too. Oh yeah, yeah. That was the fucking DiVincenzo NFL game.
My man Goldberg speared another dude and did not get called for it.
Yo, I'm gonna be honest, like Knicks fans who are trying to like cap for that and say like, yo, that wasn't a foul, he went for the ball. Like sometimes it goes in your favor, man. Just admit it. It's okay to not be a homer for a bit. DiVincenzo fucking like lined that guy up. He lined up, what was his name? The Thompson, Asar Thompson. Poor kid, man. Welcome to the NBA moment.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll take it. I'll take that W. But I mean, these refs got to get checked one day. I don't know what's going on with them, but yeah, no, great win. I mean, overall team wise, they're dealing with so many injuries, but thankfully, at least for Jalen Brunson, so far those X-rays came back negative, and it looks like it was a contact sort of injury.
Yeah, just a knee contusion. So a lot of the Twitter MDs were saying that it could be way worse, but a lot of the real actual MDs on Twitter were saying, no, it just looks like a contusion. His knee got hit by dirty ass Isaac Okoro right before he jumped up. So he definitely had a lot of pain. Like knee to knee contact is fucking one of the knee and the elbow are like two of the like more dense and strong bones in the body. Definitely painful as hell. So that reaction that he had was pretty like warranted considering how bad it was.
And I think he like hit Isaiah Hartenstein's hip or something right before that play. So it was like a sort of like a back-to-back thing, but not full blame should go on Isaac Okoro for that. But hey, we got the win, right? The Knicks had four of their five main starters out. I mean, Dante DiVincenzo wasn't even a starter to start the season. So, I mean, four of them out, Randall, Brunson, OG, Mitch, all out, but they came away with the W against the Cavs, who were only missing one of their main guys, but they still had their other three superstar, well, star players, right? They had most of their starters playing, and they had a pretty good game too, but let's see. I mean, I got a couple of stats here because in that game, they were actually pretty decent. The Cavs shot around 40% from the three. They only had 11 turnovers. Four out of their five starters shot at least 50%. And they had that one dude, Sam Merrill. Merrill? Mm-hmm. Merrill? Sounds like the son of some wealthy dude out there. Hit seven threes. And even then, I mean, the Knicks came away with a W. I mean, why that happen? What stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, like, first of all, credit to the Knicks for being able to go up against basically the Cavs roster. They had everyone except for Donovan Mitchell and, like, you know, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Darius Garland. Like, these are key guys. Max Strus, who I know is streaky, but a key guy in their lineup. Isaac Okoro has been playing much better in general. But it just felt like the Knicks B team with a lot of these backup guys just wanted to win more. And I think a lot of it just comes from, you know, the heart, no pun intended, of Josh Hart. Like he is literally the mayor of Cleveland. And, you know, I tweeted about it earlier. Like, I'm just so happy that Josh Hart is all pro troll on these guys, snatching Donovan Mitchell's three after making a huge three, you know, them being like middle school friends. I want to say they've known each other from when they were way younger. So they're just having a little bit of fun, but so nice to see Cavs fans just crying about, Why are the Cavs letting him do that? Why are they letting Josh Hart snatch his chain? Because you guys
Technical
fucking
foul.
suck. Yeah, technical foul on that. Come on, man. They're having a little fun out there. Like, they're talking shit. But it has to all come from Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo, man. Like, we're not giving this guy enough credit for stepping up and doing the things he's been doing, playing like an NBA starter when he's on a mid-level exception contract, man. Like, if you look at Josh Hart and DiVincenzo's stats this year, it's nuts. I think Josh Hart has never notched up a triple-double until this year. And I think this year itself, he put up three and flirted with a triple-double on multiple occasions, 19 rebounds against Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, incredible. And Dante DiVincenzo, man, like, I know he could be a little streaky, and some days that you live by him and you die by him, but he's given major J.R. Smith vibes with this, like, with the way he plays, the way he shoots, but a lot more tenacity and a little bit more IQ, if I'll be honest. And DiVincenzo's been incredible. Not to take anything away from guys like Precious Achiuwa and Isaiah Hartenstein, who've been playing their role. Isaiah Hartenstein, still struggling with that Achilles, but shout out to them. And last but not least, the deuce was loose, man. Like, seeing how he played against this Cavs team, seeing the way him and DiVincenzo, Josh Hart were like just snatching chains, snatching ankles, snatching whatever, man. It was a fun night to be a Knicks fan.
Sorry, I was just counting the number of consecutive games in a row that Dante DiVincenzo scored in double digits, and I got to 19. And if I keep going, it's gonna be almost like 30 games in a row. There was one game where he scored 5 points against Houston, but if you keep going past that, he scored double digits in at least like 29 out of the last 30 games. I mean, this man mid-level exception, and he is scoring as many points as he's more than he's ever averaged. And he's playing his mind out. And J.R. Smith was a great comparison that you made there. There's that I think about that one season when Melo was out for a couple of games or a couple of weeks, and J.R. Smith stepped up to be the primary scorer, and he had like two game winners. He had one against Phoenix, and he had another one against
Oof. Was it Charlotte?
Charlotte. I want to say Charlotte. Yeah, he did that in a span of like a week. I don't know if you remember that, but
It was a crazy buzzer beater
that
for
was crazy.
Charlotte too or something, right? Oof.
They were both crazy because
Oof.
he tripped up, caught it, hit the buzzer beater. So I mean, DiVincenzo's giving that kind of vibes, and he is. I think he's still third in the NBA in most made threes. I mean, seriously, like that's crazy that we got a guy who's arguably what the fourth or fifth best player on the team right now, scoring that many threes, and he's scoring in many different types of ways. I mean, put the ball in his hand, he'll find the right spot. And Josh Hart, I mean, you can't say enough. This man is prime time New York. Like the way he's playing, his attitude, the vibe that he's bringing out there, he's handling the rock most of the time with Brunson out. I mean, it was mostly him who was handling it. He's getting his assists, he's getting his numbers, and he's 6'4", getting 19 rebounds when you got all-star caliber bigs on the opposing team. You got Jared Allen who can't get those kind of rebounds. You can't Evan Mobley's not getting rebounds over Josh Hart. That's something else, dude. 19 rebounds is
Man, we're
different.
talking about rebounds. I seen like Evan Mobley not able to post up Josh Hart in the paint, and he was slipping and sliding and shit, man. And like, it's not just about what they're doing in their specific roles. Like, we already know that Josh Hart is a 19 rebound grabbing type of guy. I know it's a career high, but we've seen him before grab rebounds at this high clip. We know Dante DiVincenzo can make six threes. Like, we know that guys like Isaiah Hartenstein can grab these seven rebounds, two being offensive rebounds. But it's about what they're doing outside of that, outside of their comfort zone. You're looking at Josh Hart getting 10 rebounds, making three for six threes, like things that are not regular for him, he's doing. Dante DiVincenzo grabbing those six extra rebounds. Isaiah Hartenstein having more assists than Darius Garland, the starting point guard on the Cavs. Like, it's the way that it's not just their roles they're playing. These guys are playing above and beyond what we're talking about. And again, I want to shout out my young guys like Jericho Sims doing his thing, grabbing those six rebounds plus 17 in the minutes he played. Deuce McBride with five assists plus 11 in the minutes he played. I don't want to shit on Alec Burks, but Deuce is really playing Alec Burks out this building right now. And you've seen it with the way Tibbs is given minutes, man. He basically played Deuce the entire game outside of a few seconds, I think. And Alec Burks only played 11 minutes. And for as much as we love to shit on Tibbs and what, like, his lineups have been kind of wonky for the last, like, since we got Alec Burks and Bogdanovic, you got to credit him for this culture that we built. Because last night was a culture win. That was all about coaching and culture and all those things that we talk about when we talk about a Tom Thibodeau team.
Yeah. I mean, you said minutes Deuce played. Deuce played 47 minutes and seconds, too. He played over 47 minutes in this game. He played, I mean, I think he sat for, what, 40 seconds? Because that's why
30 seconds, something like that.
I mean, if you thought back a couple of years ago, would you have ever imagined that Alec Burks only played for 11 minutes and he let Deuce play the entire game? No way. Like, for us guys who've been following the Knicks for as tightly and closely as we have, and been watching Thibodeau with the fucking microscope each time, especially when it comes to Alec Burks, you would never imagine that Alec Burks would be outplayed or get more minutes in a Thibodeau-led team. And Deuce, to his credit, I mean, he stepped up big time. And again, the Cavs played relatively well except for the fourth quarter. They only scored 2 points in the final 5 minutes of the game. And that's really when things really hit the fan for the Cavs, because the Knicks played like their life was on the line. And it, in a way, it sort of was, because if they had lost last night after Brunson went down, that's a momentum changer.
Right.
And you got all these vets on the team, all these guys who know how to win, who understand the importance of this kind of win, that this is a signature win. A win in this and last night is different in a win versus any other team, any other night. They had to win that game, and they played like it, and they came away with it. So, I mean, when you got those Nova boys who have that championship pedigree, they know when it's time to go, and they showed it with their leadership on the court.
Yeah, since OG, Randall, and the rest of the starting lineup have been out, you're right. It's been the Nova boys who are really showing out. And I'm with you 100% when you say this is a signature win, because if you really put the Cavs and the Knicks under a microscope, they're very similar teams. Like, obviously in many different ways, but I'm saying, like, kind of record-wise. And, like, if you pay attention to the teams that they both beat that are above 500, the Cavs and Knicks are in the shaky level of that. Both teams are in a shakier level with that. But this type of game is what shows that the Knicks are just a level ahead of the Cavs. They proved it last year, but for some reason, people still believe in the Cavs, even though Jalen Brunson has taken Donovan Mitchell's lunch money on two different teams in two different conferences multiple times. But people still believe the Cavs are better. But it's games like this that really show you the difference, where the Cavs are finally getting healthy. Yes, Donovan Mitchell's out, but they're finally getting healthy with guys like Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, all back in the lineup. And the Knicks are now getting not healthy. But guys like Josh Hart just stepped up and showed what this team is all about. So last night was one of those nights where I can proudly say that I'm always proud to be wearing blue and orange and representing this organization. I love the Knicks.
Yeah. I mean, if you even take a step back, the Cavs are a second seed team. Like, no matter how you put it, they are a second seed. They are valid in that sense. Mm-hmm. I don't think I wouldn't call them frauds. I don't think they're frauds. But for whatever reason, I think the Knicks just have their number. I think they're mm-hmm. shaky when it comes to New York. For whatever reason, they just are. And I mean, you mentioned it earlier, the Knicks had their B team beat these guys. And come playoff time, if we get a matchup with the Cavs, I think it's fair to be confident with them.
Yeah, I would say there's no reason not to be confident, especially after a game like last night where Donovan Mitchell's out, Jalen Brunson's out, and we still got it without Randall, without OG. But, you know, real quick, man, I want to say, like Cleveland fans, you guys got to be a little bit more classy, man. Like, it's so disappointing to see after Jalen Brunson gets injured. Like, I know you guys have nothing going around in Cleveland besides, like, methamphetamine and LeBron posters. But, like, I'm going to need you guys to not cheer for, like, a player getting injured. Like, we're not cheering for other guys getting injured. And I really respect that as, like, the Knicks franchise, like, fan base. I never see, like, us cheering and rooting for injuries. That shit is always so frustrating. And I feel like the karma got them back, because now you're seeing Donovan Mitchell is going to be reevaluated after three games. Like, the karma comes real quick, guys. Like, it's like, at the end of the day, yes, we're fans of these teams, but, like, we all want to see good basketball. And, like, rooting for another man's downfall, like, come on, man, touch grass. Go do something else. I know there isn't much grass in fucking Cleveland. It's mostly just needles, heroin needles and whatnot, but, like, come on, guys. Sick of Cleveland, man. Like, 2 years in a row. And I think the year before we had to play the fucking Cleveland Guardians or whatever, the Yankees had to play them. I hate talking to Cleveland sports fans. Like, if they never had LeBron, there would be nothing in that city. There would be nothing. The Browns suck. The Guardians suck. And the Cavs suck. Screw that city, man. Like, I wish Sid was here with me, man. Sid would be cooking right now.
Shout out to our boy, man. I mean, they got enough going on, man. They're from Cleveland, the worst city in America.
Cleveland? Cleveland. Going on a vacation in Cleveland? Shout out. I don't want to shout out Joakim Noah. Shout out Joakim Noah.
Yeah, we'll get to the outlook for the team because I do want to talk about all these injuries and what it could mean. But let's check off another couple of points because the Knicks did make a signing this week. They signed one Shake Milton, who is a 7 years, right? 6 or 7 year NBA vet.
I believe so.
He played with the 76ers for like 5 years, and I think he was with I want to say he was with Detroit. Yeah, he was with Detroit.
Detroit, and I think Minnesota right before that.
Yeah, he played in Detroit for like 4 games, hardly played anything. But all he really is just that third string point guard, basically a Malachi Flynn replacement. He's there if we need him, and he's a solid backup. He's a solid backup's backup. That's all he is. 6'5" guy, okay shooter, okay scorer, but he's only averaged like under 20 minutes per game in his whole career. But again, he's in his 7th year in the NBA, so he does bring some value to the team. He was part of that, you know, Philly team with Embiid leading the way for a couple of years. So he understands, you know, what it might take to beat those guys if we ever come across them in the playoffs. Who knows? I'm sure he brings some value.
Yeah, I mean, Shake Milton, it's a waiver signing. Like, I'm not going to, like, look too into it, but it's almost cool to have a waiver signing where it's a familiar name, some guy you've seen give us buckets in other games and whatnot. Definitely played against Shake Milton a few times. He was definitely a hype name that was coming out. There has to be a reason that Philly got rid of him and he bounced around, so I'm not really, like, too crazy about it. But I will say the stench of the Detroit losing players is kind of stinky on the team right now. We got Shake Milton, Bogdanovich, and Alec Burks. And like real quick, I do want to talk a little bit about how Bogdanovich has been playing for the last few games. Like, I know it's been real frustrating to see him play, but you know, the quick trigger with the three, I'm hoping it really just starts to fall. He had a really quiet 20 points last night, and he was basically like elite from outside of the three, going 8 for 15 and 1 for 6 from three. But like, that 1 for 6 from three was so ugly. Like, it felt like he only got 3 points because of that 1 for 6 from three. But I get it. Like, he's still trying to mesh. And, like, hopefully he gets hot just at the right time. And he could be the power, the punch for the Knicks off the bench. But, yeah, Shake Milton, another Detroit stinky guy. So I'm hoping the stench off the team, the stench comes off the team real soon. But let's see.
I mean, Boyan's record on the court the last 5 games are not good. He's like a minus 14, a minus 9, minus 9, 0, minus 8. Like, he's
not. I'll say a lot of it's because he's just like so quick on the release for the three. Like, he doesn't even dribble. Like, he just takes the ball and shoots it, takes the ball and shoots it. And they're not good shots a lot of the time. And I don't know why Tibbs isn't yelling at him more. I feel like some of it's like just the injuries, you know, like, it's clear that Tibbs trusts Precious Achiuwa. So if Randall's in the lineup, I feel like you would see way less of Bogdanovich with Randall and Precious being a lot of the backup 4 minutes, with the four in the backup 4 minutes. But I think, you know, due to injuries, you're seeing Bogdanovich just play more minutes, and we're going to have to see how it goes.
Overall, I'm not too worried. I feel like every player that on this team so far, we've seen a stretch where they've been up and down. I think with Burks and Boyan, I think they're just trying to get at, you know, antiquated, trying to figure out their role and trying to figure out their play style on a team that kind of had an established identity before they got traded in. So I think come playoff time, we're going to need them to step up and play a certain role to just come off the bench and be able to light it up at that point. I feel like once they play into that role, they'll be fine. I mean, Burks, we've seen him be a much better secondary player than a starter once he's within his role. So I'm not too worried. What I do want to talk about, though, is all these injuries that the Knicks have, right? Their head coach is Tom Thibodeau. Do you ever feel like you're connecting the dots that these injuries can be or should be the fault of Tom Thibodeau? Do you put most of your blame on him? Obviously, some of the blame has to go on him, but do you, as a fan, are you frustrated with the kind of minutes that Thibodeau gives out to his players still to this day?
I'll say, like, as a fan, yeah. Like, as a Knicks fan, as someone who's just passionate about the game and, like, obviously loves the guys who are playing for us, like, yes, it is frustrating sometimes to see them be overworked. But I don't know, as someone who's studying in science and someone who's studying to be a nurse, like, a lot of research I've seen, and like the numbers don't really correlate, and there isn't really any proven data that says playing more, like, and maybe that's because there isn't enough research done on it. I'll admit that, but there isn't really a lot of like data saying that playing more minutes can lead to the injuries the way they do. Now, it is possible that playing more, like the basketball that they play on the court, like actual game basketball, can lead to those things. But I don't know, man. Like, players are there to play. And like, we've seen this. Like, this isn't the first time in this NBA that it's like this. Like, in the old NBA, guys were playing a lot of minutes. And also, like, Tom Thibodeau, like, I feel like, before I could complain about it a lot more, now he's doing it because he has no choice. Like, we have no choice but to play Deuce McBride 47 minutes. Like, we have no choice but to play a guy like Josh Hart 45 minutes. And it can be frustrating, but I'm sorry. I just can't really burn Tom Thibodeau at the stake for it at this exact moment. If you're talking about previous iterations of Tom Thibodeau where you're up 15 points against the Cavs, or I forgot what team it was, that the Derrick Rose injury happens with the Bulls, I can say that's on Tom Thibodeau because you already wrapped up the game and you're still playing. But a game like last night and a lot of these games that Tom Thibodeau is required to play these guys as many minutes as they have to, what am I supposed to say? Jalen Brunson getting injured, like he played 1 minute. That was not because of Tom Thibodeau. That was because Isaac Okoro doesn't know how to land, and he's like, he just messed up. Like, I'm sorry. I don't want to berate Tom Thibodeau for this. If you want to berate Tom Thibodeau for some of the bad lineup decisions he's been making over the last 2 weeks, I'm with you on that. He has been making some very poor lineup decisions with the slew of injuries, but I'm not too concerned about this minutes thing, I'll be honest.
If the greatest player of all time averaged like 38 to 40 minutes per game in almost all of his seasons, you can't get too upset when OG Anunoby's averaging like 35. I mean, I know there are a couple of games where he played 42 plus minutes or 41 plus minutes, but overall in his Knicks tenure so far, he's averaging closer to 35 minutes a game. When he
Also,
in
the
if
injury, the OG injury is like an elbow inflammation. Like, I really can't blame that on Tibbs. Like, knee injuries, like lower body, you could say a lot of work being done, a lot of movement, game time basketball. Okay. But like, elbow inflammation, like, that's like elbow issues. Like, what? Tom Thibodeau is making him shoot too much? That's why his elbow's kind of hurting. Like, I don't know. And yeah, at the end of the day, we're just fans talking about this. So we're not going to know the internal, like, a lot of things a lot of other people know, but. I'm sorry, it's really hard for me to point at Tom Thibodeau and say, like, Randle's injury, for example, and Iron Man, his injury was not because Tom Thibodeau played him too much. It was because Jamie Hawkins Jr. like just landed improperly on him. Like, a lot of these, like the Achilles, I could say, the Isaiah Hartenstein Achilles injury might be because of Tom, but it's not Tom's fault that Mitchell Robinson's out and he has to play Isaiah Hartenstein more. Like, I feel like the criticism on Tom Thibodeau's minutes is probably more valid for other seasons. This season, the criticism doesn't feel as valid to me, at least.
yeah, it has to make sense, at least. He's not forcing them to play in garbage minutes all the time. There, with the exception of a couple of games where there's like 3 minutes left and we're up 25 points and he's still keeping his starting players there. But a game like last night, he did the right thing by keeping Deuce in the game because what did he do? He rode the hot hand. And that was a
Trash
complaint
Hart
of us
too.
before. We're like, yo, he's like this X player is playing well. Why are you taking him out if he's normally not playing those kinds of minutes? I mean, Thibodeau flipped the script and said, "Bet he's playing like that. We're gonna keep him on the court for as long as he plays like that." And honestly, you can't complain against that because that's the right move to make. Maybe he didn't have to play the full 47 minutes and 32 seconds, but at least 40 minutes was that kind of night that he needed. And honestly, had he not played all 47 minutes, maybe we don't get those 2 point, differential. Maybe we don't get that game winner. Maybe we don't come out with the win. So whatever he did, we got the win. So that's all you can really credit that to or count that to.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So overall, Knicks outlook. I'm gonna correct myself earlier. I said that the Cavs were second seed after last night's loss. They are now third seed, and the Knicks are fourth seed at 36 and 25. So knowing all that, and Celtics won 11 in a row. Their first seed 40 and 12 destroyed the Warriors last night. Holy shit.
55 points, right? Or 52 or something. Sheesh.
Biggest, I think, lead ever in history going, going to the second half. and you got the Bucks who won five in a row. So they're, you know, they're getting their shit together. So overall outlook, NBA wise, NBA East wise, how are we feeling about the Knicks right now?
I mean, it's kind of a little bit of a dogfight. I'm actually really impressed that the Sixers without Joel Embiid have been still hovering around 35 and 25. The Heat have been surging to a certain extent recently. Like, Jimmy Butler's been playing much better. And like you pointed out, the Bucks and Cavs are really like kind of like jumping away with the first and second seeds. The Cavs are right behind, but you know, the Bucks are playing much better. But I like the Knicks outlook. I mean, if you really look at their record, without OG Anunoby, Randle, and whatnot, they're like hovering around 500 without three of their most important players, without Mitchell Robinson, OG Anunoby, and Randle. So I feel like they've held up decently through the injuries. I know we had a really hot January, but again, you have that hot January so you can make up for the problems that you're going through now. But, you know, in terms of the outlook, I think the Knicks are going to be solidified as a top four seed. I don't really see the Magic, Heat, or Sixers catching up to them, especially if we're hearing that OG and Jalen Brunson are coming back within the next week. I don't really see a world where they catch up, but it's a dogfight because you're looking at the seeding between four and eight. Everyone, like the difference between the four seed and the eight seed, Knicks and Pacers, is two games. That's fucking nuts. So I can't really predict it, but the way, like, especially after winning like last night, I'm gonna have to go with the Knicks here because out of all these teams, I'll say, outside of the Heat, of course, they're the most experienced. And, you know, Sixers don't have Embiid, so I'm not going to really count them. But compared to the Magic and the Pacers, the Knicks have the most experience in this realm. So I'm feeling confident that the Knicks are going to keep hovering around that fourth seed, maybe even the three seed.
How long is Joel Embiid out for?
I want to say he had a procedure done. So he should be back before playoffs. But let's see, Joel Embiid time. Ramping up, still no timetable. So, yeah, timeline remains uncertain, which they were saying about OG pretty recently, but a lot of people are pretty up, a little bit more up on OG's return. And, you know, Randall, we've been seeing.
Because they're not saying anything. They're not disclosing any information. Like, we all thought he was going to be back after, like, a game or two. Lo and behold, it's been, like, a month.
Yeah, because I think it upgraded from like an elbow inflammation to like, I forgot what it was, but there was a real actual issue where he had to get surgery on his elbow. But it should still be like a 2 to 3 week recovery from what I remember. But
yeah, I mean, if the Knicks get their players back, which hopefully over the next month we'll see more of them return. Mitchell Robinson, we saw him sitting on the bench for the first time in months, a couple of games ago.
Right, right.
So OG hopefully soon. Randle looks like he should be soon. Brunson, you know, x-rays came back negative, which is great. The next five or six games are, I want to say, winnable, but not definitively. I mean, the Hawks.
Yeah, I'll say, like, I'm watching that Magic game a little bit because the Knicks have been really struggling against the Magic, but they've been dominating the Sixers, and the Sixers don't have Embiid, so that's great. And the Hawks don't have Trae Young, which is great. And, you know, the Trailblazers are where they are. But that Magic game, like, I really want to see the Knicks pull one off against the Magic because I am sick and tired of hearing that Orlando Magic, Orlando. It's a catchy song, I ain't going to lie, but, like, damn, I don't want to hear that on a Knicks thing. Like,
yeah, for the next five games should be winnable, and then you got the Kings, Warriors, and Nuggets. Like, that's gonna be tough. So we'll see.
Yeah, West Coast. Oh yeah, it's a West Coast trip, right? Oof, West Coast trips are always the worst.
Yeah, and we're ramping up. I mean, it's March 4th. The last game of the season is April 14th. So we're a little over a month away from playoff season. So we're getting there. I don't know.
And we have about 10 days. We have 10 days until the end of this five game stint that we're talking about until we play the Trailblazers. So, like, I think I personally think they'll be able to manage these next five games without OG, Randle, and Mitch. I really hope that Jalen Brunson is back before March 8th. That'd be really nice. Sure.
All right. I think otherwise, that should be it for this episode.
Oh, again, I do have one thought. I'm sorry, real quick. Yo, Mike from what's their pod called? Shit, I can't remember right now.
Knicks Fan Wilder? Who, M?
No. Mike from the Nets pod. Bro, I see my guy tweeting that the Knicks and the Nets might be in the play-in. My guy, the Knicks and Mike, the Nets have the same number of wins as the Nets have losses. What are we talking about? Playing, bro. Come y'all on, gonna make the play-in? Aren't y'all the 11th seed? Y'all even gonna make the play-in? Come on, man.
That'd
Shout out to Mike. Great guy. Great guy. Love his tweets. You know, I know a lot of it with the engagement, you know, engagement from Knicks fans, but.
Nets won two in a row. My man forgot how to act.
Come on, man.
shout out to Mike. He's a good dude.
Great guy. I mean,
he supports the wrong team. He could switch over any time and everybody would understand. But, you know, one, two games in a row don't mean they're going to make anything, bro. So we appreciate you guys checking out this episode. Nickish, make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter at NickishNYC. Check out our website, nick-ish.com. Cop yourself some Nickish gear. We got some new stuff coming along the way. Spring weather is basically here, man. It's March 4th, so we got some spring gear coming up. And some you know, hopefully some cool stuff in playoff time too. Until next time, take care. Peace.
See you guys.